Diplomatic efforts continue against the backdrop of the Israel-Hamas war. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Amman consulting with counterparts from across the Middle East. This follows meetings in Tel Aviv. Prime Minister Netanyahu resisted Mr. Blinken's calls for humanitarian pauses without the release of hostages. Israel's military did announce a brief window today for people trapped in northern Gaza to travel south. The ripple effects of the conflict grow more apparent by the day. In Israel, unharvested crops and empty construction sites dot the landscape. Many Palestinians travel from the occupied West Bank for work. Israel has put their permits on hold over security concerns, and that complicates the lives of both Israeli employers and Palestinian workers. NPR's Becky Sullivan reports from Tel Aviv and the West Bank.
I've come to a construction site near downtown Tel Aviv. Bashar Jabarin is the project manager here. He gives me a tour. It's supposed to be a 9-story apartment building, a nice building, he says. Then he adds, but the guys who work here are mostly from the West Bank, which means construction is totally on pause. For the last few weeks, it's been stuck in time. 9 floors of empty concrete boxes, no doors, no windows, no nothing. Before the war, there were 20 or 25 guys here all the time, Jabarin says. Now no one knows when they'll be able to come back. In peacetime, more than 110,000 Palestinians had permits from Israel to come each week from the occupied West Bank to work. Most are in construction or agriculture. But for now, Israel has revoked those permits, and that has paralyzed job sites all across Israel and left workers all across the West Bank suddenly without their only source of income. I come to a coffee shop near the West Bank city of Ramallah to talk to a few unemployed Palestinians. There's a handyman for a monastery in Jerusalem. He can't work. A metal worker for construction sites in Israel. He can't work. And Ra'ed, who pours concrete for new homes in an Israeli settlement nearby, he can't work either. Like everyone here, Ra'ed only gave me his first name because he's hoping Israel will give him back a work permit in the future. In the settlement, he made about $50 or $60 a day, about twice as much as he'd make working for a West Bank Palestinian. Now he's got no income, but a wife and 2 kids to feed. I'm buying things on credit, he says. Meat from the butcher, vegetables from the market. When I go back to work, I'll pay it all. Mahmoud chimes in. He's an electrician who usually works for Palestinians around the West Bank. But even that's gotten hard these days. Israel has closed a lot of roads and checkpoints since the war, and it can take hours to drive what used to take only 45 minutes. And no one has money to pay him these days anyway, because it's not just those with Israeli permits who are affected by all of this. If the Palestinians with Israeli permits can't work, he says, then they have no money to pay the Palestinians who work in the West Bank, and so on. We all turn on the same wheel. I ask him, do you want the war to end so things can get back to normal? If victory is on our side, yes, he says. Despite everything, all the hardship, we're happy with the war. The economic pain my family feels right now is the price I'll pay for my rights and my land, he says. And it's nowhere near as high the price my cousins in Gaza are paying. God willing, the war will continue, he says. Back in Tel Aviv, Amit Gottlieb meets me at the construction site. He's the vice president of Gottlieb Construction, the company building these apartments near downtown. He's worked in the construction industry for almost 20 years, always alongside Palestinians. I have employees that I know better than my friends, he says. We have a personal relationship with them. And even these days, I can say that I love them. But the events of October 7th have shaken him. Is it their goal to live in cooperation with us or to kill us? Gottlieb asks. He says he has hard feelings after what happened on October 7th. And he's no longer sure Israelis and Palestinians will be able to work together again in the future. Becky Sullivan, NPR News, Tel Aviv.